Good morning. We hope that you are getting up, and wherever you are, wherever you're listening to this, that you're ready to take on the day. We have an exciting episode. We're very, very, very excited for what we want to share with you today. And we missed you guys. We had to skip an episode, but we're back on track. My name is Anthony Stafford, and I'm here with Samuel Hazelton. And we are Old Lion, Young Lion, one of the fastest growing movements and Bible studies racing across Schenectady County in upstate New York, and we are excited to be with you. You might ask, why do we call our show Old Lion, Young Lion? And let me tell you, we actually believe this, that we work for the greatest lion of all time. We're not talking about Mufasa. We're not talking about No King of the Jungle. We're talking about the Lion of the Tribe of Judah, the very Jesus Christ who created us, gave us purpose and mission, redeemed us by the shedding of his blood. We work for him. The Bible teaches us in the book of Proverbs that the righteous ought to be bold as lions. And we intend on this show, it is our responsibility, it is our job to discover truth from the Word of God and proclaim it boldly. And we're glad you're here with us. We are now not just only on the radio, but we are also streaming wherever you get your podcasts. Look up Old Lion, Young Lion. We want you to like, subscribe, and comment to all of our stuff. Get the word out. Send it to a friend of yours. We are on the move here in the Lion's Den. We want to give a special shout out to the sponsor of our show today. And it looks like, Sam, you got the paperwork there?
I do. The Carasone family from Rotterdam.
The Carasone family from Rotterdam. Darren and Rebecca, we want to thank you for sponsoring today's episode. And we're excited for our future sponsors and whatever the Lord has for us going forward in the future. Now, we meet at our church, Sam and I, we are pastors of Electric City Baptist Church, and we meet every Sunday, 10:30 a.m. at 2350 Hamburg Street in Schenectady, New York. We'd love for you to come be a part of a congregation of people that love Jesus, preach the Word of God, and sing praises to the very God who made them. And you're invited to that, and we will stay airing this show every Sunday morning at 9:30, right on WPTR as well. And we have a tradition here in the Lion's Den, and we ask Old Lion to kick off every single one of our shows with a word of prayer. So wherever you are and whatever you're doing, I want you to take a quick second, and I want you to take a deep breath with us. I'm going to ask Old Lion to open our show up in a word of prayer.
Heavenly Father, I want to thank you today for the opportunity to speak on the radio and through this podcast. Father, we recognize that within us is nothing true, Lord, but in you is all truth. Lord, we recognize that all truth comes from your word. Everything that we say that's valuable is something that was given to us to say. And so we do give ourselves to you today and ask that you would, as we open our mouths, that you would fill them. Father, we pray that as we get into some of the difficult sayings of Jesus today about taking up our cross, Father, help us to explain this in a way that would be spiritually uplifting to those who are hearing us today. In Jesus' name.
Amen. And we pray a blessing over any of you that are listening. We don't know what you're walking through or what difficulties you're facing or what hardships that have hit you in this past season. But we pray that not only this show, but that the Holy Spirit is a comforter that comes alongside of you, a paraclete that's here to help you, walk with you through whatever you're going through, but ultimately bring you to the knowledge and truth that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins and raised to give you life and life everlasting if you but place your faith in Jesus and Christ and his work on the cross. Now, Sam, why don't you give us a little update about today's show? How did we hear about today's topic? Maybe how some of the folks can get their topic on the show. Give us an idea of what we're going to talk about today and what's coming in the future.
The question that we're taking up today is one that came in from a listener. Her name is Jamie Heath and lives in Malta. And she gave us the following question. She said this: I'm hoping a future episode could focus on Matthew 16:24. Which says this: Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And she says specifically what it means to take up our cross. I would love help clarifying what that means as a part of the Christian walk and how it corresponds to Jesus' own connection to the cross?
That's a great question, Jamie. We thank you for that. And we want to remind everybody that, as Jamie did, we can email the show at oldlionyounglion@gmail.com. And we'll not only give you a written response, but if your question is one that we think should go on the air, it will make the air, and we will talk about it on one of our episodes. So what we're going to do is we're going to go to the book of Matthew, chapter number 16. This idea of take up your cross, this is found in a few passages of scripture, and we're going to maybe hit some of those today. But we're going to start in Matthew chapter number 16. And so we're going to read maybe five or six verses on this. And then I'm going to ask Sam, Old Lion here, I'm going to ask him to kind of set the context of what's going on. But would you join me in just reading the Word of God? And if you have a copy of the Word of God, you can kind of get it out. Scroll and or turn to Matthew chapter 16, starting in verse number 21. The Bible says this: from that time forth began Jesus to show his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and to suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed, and be raised again on the third day. And Peter heard this and took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. And Jesus turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. And Jesus looked and said unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake, he shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Now, Matthew chapter 16 has a lot of information in it, Old Lion. Why don't you set the storyline for what's happening that brought this kind of engagement between Jesus and one of his main guys, Peter, but also all of his followers? What's leading up to this? What's coming up? Give us some surrounding to Matthew 16 as it pertains to Jamie's question.
So up till now, Jesus and his disciples, they're just going throughout Jerusalem, performing miracles. Jesus is preaching and teaching, feeding the 5,000, walking on water. All this good stuff is happening.
Right.
And Peter and the rest of the disciples, they are just amazed out of their mind. Their life has never been so great.
Okay.
Now, all of a sudden, for the first time, Jesus is starting to talk about what's going to happen to him. Here the disciples are thinking, wow, the kingdom of God is going to come. We're going to be Jesus' deputies. He's going to set up his kingdom on earth now. And Jesus is starting to bring them the reality. Hey, I'm coming the first time for a much bigger purpose. I've got a major thing to solve here. There's this problem of indwelling sin in humankind. And Jesus, he came not to set up an earthly kingdom when he first came, but rather to solve mankind's real problem, which is indwelling sin. To do that, he had to go to the cross. Jesus had to die on the cross so that his blood could pay the price for our sins. We could be forgiven. Our sin nature would die together with him on that cross. That was his main mission. Peter didn't understand this. The disciples didn't understand this. And so there's a lot of sorrow that they had when they heard that he was going to the cross.
And I think some of his disciples kind of had this as a reoccurring issue, not understanding exactly what Jesus's primary mission was. So Sam, do you kind of see his followers kind of maybe sometimes even confused about what he's teaching or what he's doing, and maybe even, you know, righteously thinking, you know, we want to protect him, we love him? What do you think is kind of going through the disciples' minds as Jesus is giving this information that he's going to die?
Peter says, God forbid, Lord, this is never going to happen to you. This is what Peter says. He says, right. No way this is going to happen to you. I'll protect you. I'll step in there and stop them. This is never going to happen. We'll go to Cyprus. We'll go over to Damascus. We'll get out of town. This is not going to happen. And it's so interesting. Jesus turns to him and says, Get thee behind me, Satan.
What a response.
It's so funny because earlier, just a few verses earlier, Jesus had asked his disciples, Who do men say that I am?
Right.
And they said, well, some say you're Elijah. Some say you're one of the prophets has risen from the dead. People have all kinds of answers. And then Jesus says, but who do you say that I am?
What does Peter say?
And Peter comes back immediately, says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, blessed are you, Simon, son of John, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And so just two little verses later, Jesus starts to tell them, hey guys, I'm going to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to be turned over to the chief priests and the elders. They're going to mistreat me. They're going to crucify me. I'm going to be killed. And on the third day, I'm going to rise. Peter says, no way, Lord, that's not going to happen. He's responding in an earthly way. He's responding according to the way men think. And so Jesus says, get behind me, Satan, for you are minding or you're savoring the things of men and not those of God.
So this is the setup for the story, which I love, this interaction between Jesus and Peter. And a lot of people have felt that they would respond like Peter. And maybe you might get rebuked by Jesus as well if you decided to respond like Peter. But this is the setting of what's going on in the story, which brings us to this little phrase. And it's been maybe overused or it's been incorrectly used many times. And this is the phrase that says, take up your cross, deny yourself, and follow me. So Jesus takes this opportunity in the midst of this conversation with Peter, as Jesus is walking to the cross that he's going to die on, Jesus uses this as an opportunity to teach, to take up your cross and follow me. So Sam, why don't you give us a little idea about some initial thoughts about what this phrase, take up your cross and follow me, means? Because some people kind of take this to mean some kind of self-reflection, recommitment to a deeper life, kind of Eastern meditative, I'll just be quiet for 12 hours type of idea. Take up my cross. They'll repeat it 50 times in a row. But what is Jesus talking about in the immediate context? And what is he going to get out here? Give us some little insight to what is Jesus initially talking about take up my cross.
Jesus' disciples knew exactly what he was talking about.
Okay.
The cross was the Roman instrument of death. It's like right. In the modern day, if he'd said the electric chair. Everybody knows what the electric chair is
right.
In our day and age. Everybody in their day and age knew what the cross was, and that criminals who were about to be crucified actually had to carry their cross to the place where they were going to be crucified. And so the disciples understood this completely. This is an instrument of torture. This is an instrument of death. So this is what's entering into their minds initially when they're hearing this.
Yeah, and I think that this phrase, take up your cross and follow me, can be turned into like a colloquial saying, but Jesus' initial statement about what he's talking about is his personal crucifixion. And there's a heaviness to Jesus's teaching in this moment that I think if I were there with the disciples, I would just be quiet. I'd just be like, okay, I got to take this in, what he's talking about. He is literally saying that you need to follow me to the death if you want to be a follower of mine. And I think that we cannot escape that Jesus is talking about his eventual death on the physical cross. It is not some idea that some hoity-toity ivory tower, quote-unquote theologian, had to come up with a way for him to also experience some kind of suffering. So he places himself in some self-suffering and then calling it taking up his cross. Jesus is talking about his literal death on the cross. And any understanding about this phrase needs to start with that idea that Jesus is saying, those who are willing to die physically for me are the ones that are suitable for my kingdom. So I like you setting up the context with this being about Jesus's death on the cross. What's another aspect that we can kind of look at this phrase, take up your cross and follow me?
Right. Another way to understand this, if we just look to that one verse right before where he says, take up your cross in verse 23.
Okay.
It says, but he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man.
Wow. There's a real contrast there. So Okay, folks, you see how going into the Word of God is going to explain some things that we perceive to be a little bit confusing? The Bible's not confusing. The Bible's not complicated. The Bible's not difficult. We just need to believe what it says. And so, Sam, I appreciate you bringing up that verse right before that sets the teaching that Jesus is about to give. Okay, so now tell us, unpack verse number 23 for us about what Jesus is kind of talking about that he's going to use the cross as an analogy for. Go ahead.
God has plans.
Okay.
God has a will. God has desires for things to happen on the earth. And being the creator, his plans should take priority over ours.
Wow.
Now, we have people have their plans. People have their bucket lists. People have the things that they want to accomplish in their life. Hey, I want to get that nice camp on the lake, and I want to have a place to bring my family to on the weekends and so forth. I've got these priorities that I might have in my life. I want to get this dream house that I've always been dreaming about. I want to get this car that I've just been desiring to have. And we have these things of man. If we let our lives be focused on the things of men, if I am absorbed, am I consumed by my desire to get the lake house? I'm consumed by the desire to get the dream house. I'm consumed. My life is consumed by the desire to get this car over here. This is something that I need to put to death.
Okay.
In favor of the will of God. And what is the will of God? Well, one of the things is, if we scroll backward to
earlier in the passage.
Yep. To verse number 18. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus says this, I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock, I will build my church. And what he's saying, and what he says, on this rock, folks, no matter what you've heard, he's not saying on Peter, he's going to build his church.
Okay, okay.
The word in the Greek for Peter, which does mean rock, but it's a little tiny stone. It's like a pebble.
Okay.
Okay. When he says on this rock, that word rock is a different word in Greek, and it means like a huge rock, like the Rock of Gibraltar.
Okay.
Okay. So on this Rock of Gibraltar, and what he's talking about is the understanding of who Jesus is.
The Christ
Thou
of God.
Thou art the Son of God.
That's good.
Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. This is what the rock that he's going to build his church on.
Okay.
Christ is the foundation. But this is a major aspect of God's will. I will build my church. It means that myself as a Christian, I need to prefer the will, plans, and purposes of God over my own earthly desires, plans, and purposes. I need to set those things aside so that I can prefer and say, I'm going to pour my life. Jesus wants to build his church. I'm going to pour my life into building his church with him. This is also the idea of taking up my cross. I'm going to put to death those things that are earthly in me, and I'm going to take up the heavenly things, the things of God.
Give us like a little bit of an application for being a part of the will of God to build his church. Tell us a little bit about what you could maybe choose to do something with your life that might even sound good, as opposed to what God might have in store for you to helping build his church. How would someone go about helping build Christ's church?
Great question. So one of the things that the Church of Jesus Christ, the Bible says, is built of living stones.
Right.
So living stones are people, just so you know. And so God is building people together. He's building their lives together, fitting them intricately together. And so maybe part of me building the Church of Jesus Christ is being an ambassador for Jesus, to go out and find those living stones, share the good news of Jesus Christ with them, and invite them to come in and be a part of this kingdom, be a part of the family of God. That's one aspect of it.
I love that view of this, and I think that having our mind set on heavenly things rather than earthly things is what Jesus is getting at here when you should take up your cross. Now, this story goes on where Jesus ends up actually taking up his physical cross to pay for the sins of the world. Jesus does this absolutely mighty act the scripture calls his passion, that he goes and he lays down his life for his friends so that they might become part of this church that he's building. But some might say something like this, old lion. They might go and they might have an argument and say, oh man, how difficult is this? That's such a hard thing. That's such a terrible thing to give up all the things in your life to be able to go and do this thing, the will of the Father. And you know, they said that very thing to Jesus when he was walking to take his cross up. The very same thing. The story goes on as Jesus fulfills. Here's a side note, that when Jesus prophesies that it's the will of God that he go and be killed by the chief priests and be killed by the elders, that he'll be raised up in the third day, Jesus' word will not be broken, because Jesus' word is the word of God.
Amen.
So Jesus' word comes true, and as he's walking up the hill of Golgotha, he is carrying his cross. He took up his cross like he said he would, and the Bible says that there are men and women around him bewailing and crying that Jesus had to go through this terrible thing. And Jesus turns to them in the midst of him carrying his cross, and he says, "Weep not for me, but weep for yourselves. I am not going through something that's so great and terrible. I am doing the will of the Father. And you should weep for yourselves, because there will come a day when men will say, 'Let the rocks fall on me,' because they have turned from the living God and not focused on heavenly things, but rather earthly things." And this very Jesus, as he's walking up the hill to lay his life down for the people that ought to, that eventually will place their faith in him, he turns to them and say, "Do not weep for me." So Sam, how can Jesus say, "Don't weep for me"? Where do we kind of find in scripture that Jesus is calling people to take on this cross, and then Jesus would say something like, "Don't weep for me. This isn't hard. This isn't difficult. This isn't a problem, but this is rather something that's great." Where would we kind of get an idea why Jesus would say, "Do not weep for me"?
We see this earlier in John. There was a time where Jesus hadn't had anything to eat all day long, and he's sharing with a woman in John chapter 4, and he's bringing her to Christ. She winds up bringing her entire village to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amazing things are happening. And his disciples come back and say, "Did anybody give him anything to eat?" And Jesus' response was, "I have food to eat that ye know not of.
So good. So good.
When you're in the will of God, it is a beautiful experience. Anytime you're walking in the will of God, that you know that you're working with him, you know that you're doing what he wants, there is joy in that moment. You have sustenance. You have provision in that moment that you never, ever experience in any other context. So this is kind of what Jesus is saying when he says, "Don't weep for me. Okay. I'm doing the will of God." Jesus was in joy in that moment in doing the will of God, in spite of the intense suffering he was undergoing.
I think so.
And so if we look back in Matthew chapter 11, we go back five chapters in Matthew to chapter 11, there's a passage here which on the surface doesn't have anything to do with it, but if you dig deeper, it has everything to do with it.
Okay, show us.
In Matthew chapter 11 and in verse 28, it says this. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And then he says in verse 29, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light."
That's good.
Now, first of all, let me just explain what a yoke is.
Okay.
It's not the yellow part of an egg.
Okay.
It's Y-O-K-E. It's actually a wooden bar that goes, it's fitted to the necks of two oxen that are going to pull together, and there's a cross piece down the middle that connects them to the rig that they're pulling. Okay, so a yoke is shaped just like a cross.
Right.
First of all. Now, he says this, "Take my yoke upon." When you had a yoke of oxen going, there would always be an older, more mature, stronger ox teamed up with a kind of a novice ox.
Okay.
And so the novice ox would be kind of controlled by this larger and stronger and more experienced ox to learn the ropes. And so this is the picture that Jesus is painting. He's saying, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I'm gentle, I'm lowly of heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And this is when we take Jesus's yoke upon us.
His cross.
Yes, the yoke is the cross.
Right.
And we're walking together with him. We're seeing how he does things. We're allowing, we're being prayerful. We're being spiritually sensitive to the moment to walk the way he walks, do what he does, to care about the things that he cares about, take the steps that he takes. This is life. And you know what? It seems hard to anybody looking on. You look on those poor ox, and they get this heavy wooden yoke over their necks. You're like, wow, boy, I'd hate to be one of them.
Right.
But they are doing what they were created to do. And when you, as a believer in the Lord Jesus, take up his cross, you're walking the way you were created to walk. And even though everybody outside looks at you and says, oh, you poor guy, you poor dude, and they're pitying you, it's like, don't pity me. Weep for yourselves. I'm experiencing life to the fullest because I'm doing the will of God.
Now, it doesn't get rid of our suffering. It doesn't get rid of our hard, quote-unquote, hard times. Even Jesus in the garden says, Father, if there be any way outside of this, please let it be, but I will do the will of the Father. Jesus' position was, I'm not intentionally running into suffering, but I will walk in pain and hardship if it be the will of God. Mm. I will with joy take up my cross and follow the will of the Father. See, this whole message of today's show is about us doing the will of the Father. This is all about us doing the will of the Father. But Sam, I want you to talk to us about one last thing. There, Luke has a similar message in this, talks about this particular teaching that Jesus has, and he adds another word. So I want you to kind of give us the last portion of today's show that Luke adds, take up my cross daily. There seems to be a context, and this one, it gets directly at Jamie's question. Mm. And so, Sam, I want you to unpack this last piece. There seems to be a way by which I can take up my cross in big decisions, in a big picture way, and I could also take up my cross following Jesus in my day-to-day. And I want everyone to know, Jesus cares about your hour-by-hour life. He doesn't only just care about your grand gestures. He cares about your daily efforts. And so why don't you give us a picture of following Jesus or taking up Jesus's cross daily as well as in a big picture, and kind of encapsulize that for us as we close the show.
Yeah, so this is Luke 9:23, and he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And like Anthony said, there's those big life decisions, and then there's the daily life decisions. And so being a Christian is more than just making those single big life decisions. To be a Christian, you have to make some big life decisions. You have to make that decision to repent of your sin. You have to make that decision to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. You have to make that decision to say, hey, I'm going to believe in the Bible. I'm going to believe in what the Lord Jesus did in his death, burial, and resurrection. That's a big decision. It's a big decision, the place you decide to live. It's a big decision, the person you decide to marry. It's a big decision, the place you decide to work for your career. These are all big decisions, but there are daily decisions that we make. And I want to give an example of each. One big decision you might make is, where am I going to retire? I really like the ocean coast of South Carolina. I want to retire down there, and I want to have a good life and take everything I've saved and move down there and just go to a place where I love the beach, I love the warmth, et cetera, I love the people down there. And you may be thinking that way. It's interesting. Jesus gave a parable at one point. He said there was a man who became very wealthy, and he tore down his barns and he built bigger ones. And he said, take thine ease. Thou hast goods laid up for many years. Eat, drink, and be merry. And so God said to this man, thou fool, this night thy soul is required of thee, and these things that you've laid up for yourself, whose will they be? We need to recognize in the big decisions that we need to set aside our priorities and pick up Jesus's.
That's good.
So second thing is in the daily. What does it mean to take up my cross daily? Well, when I get up in the morning, I'm looking for a big bowl of cereal and I want to get to work because I got a lot of work that I need to get done.
Okay.
But you know what Jesus is looking for when I get up in the morning? He wants me to spend some time with him. He wants me to get into his word, get on my knees, pray to him and get in his word, have that intimate communication with him. That's what he desires. The prayer of the upright, the Bible says, is God's delight. I'm going to set aside my things, my earthly things, getting that big bowl of cereal, getting my work done early. I'm going to set aside those earthly things and I'm going to put myself into heavenly things. I'm going to have that intimate communion with my Father.
I love this idea. Here's the whole deal. Taking up the cross of Jesus is not some act of humility or spending 10 hours of quiet time or pretending like you're going to be some kind of spiritualist. The whole idea behind it is that you do the will of the Father. Jesus says, I come not to do my own will, but the will of the Father, the will of him who sent me. And this was the will of the Father, that Christ go to the cross, lay his life down, and be raised up on the third day to offer life to all those that believe. Wherever you're at in your life, whatever spot you've been in, whatever part or season of your life or part of the journey that you're on, if you've not placed your faith in Jesus Christ, if you haven't taken the time to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and receive him as your Savior by believing that he died for you and rose again to give you eternal life, this is the first step of following the will of the Father, is by placing your faith in Jesus. Wherever else you are, or whatever else you've been walking through or going through, come back to the spot where you can say, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Start with that question. And this is the initial steps of understanding the wise words of the very Jesus who saved us, to take up your cross, deny yourself, and follow me. Now, we're not a show that goes into politics, that we might touch on it. We don't talk about international affairs, though it might come up. We don't talk about what's going on in the sports world, though we might make some comment about them here or there. This show is a show that's about discovering truth from the Word of God and proclaiming it boldly. We hope that you'll continue with us on this journey, and we hope that God blesses you.
And we'll see you at church.